Father, we thank you again that your word is true, powerful, and life-changing. And I pray that you'd use me as a vessel, as an instrument to communicate your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to admit, this week I struggled trying to find a sermon theme. Sometimes I choose something that ties in with Mother's Day, but I'll be honest, I just wasn't feeling it. Sorry, moms, I'm not speaking to you today. Hopefully you got a little bit of encouragement from your children. And I tell you, I struggled a little bit because I started a series before this pandemic hit on the book of Mark, 2020 Vision of Jesus. And I thought, should I get back into that? And again, I just wasn't feeling that. I feel like there's needs that we have to meet. And so I kind of wrestled all week, to be honest, with this kind of a spiritual wrestling match. What do I teach on? What would be the best for our group? Finally, I just closed my eyes and said, Lord, what would you have me to share with your people? And immediately a chapter popped into my mind. I mean, I'm not a mystic or anything. I didn't hear a vocal voice, but it's as if I heard this and I kind of resisted it. Thought maybe I just thought it up. You want to know what that chapter was? Psalm 23. And at first I thought, well, that's too familiar. We all know Psalm 23. We've heard it a million times at funerals. It's not something I really thought would be the right passage. I wanted something a little fancier, meatier, challenging than something we've heard before. But God kept bringing me back to Psalm 23. And it dawned on me that maybe it's because this passage talks about comfort. Yet thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And what we need is comfort in this time. God's people are unsettled. This is a rough time, this pandemic, and we need to be comforted. We need to be reminded that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my protector. And that's what this psalm communicates. You know, by way of illustration, there are sometimes I want some fancy food. What I mean by that is sometimes I got a hankering for some spicy Mexican food. So I'll go down to Hortensia's or Papagayo's and have a feast. Sometimes we get in the mood for some rich French food. So we go down to the Le Rendezvous Cafe. Have you guys been to Le Rendezvous Cafe? Man, is it fantastic food. Last month, we even went to the New Deli and had Indian food. So once in a while, I get the urge for exotic foods. But you know, day in and day out, what I need is not fancy food, it's comfort foods. Things that are familiar. There's foods I keep coming back to. So more often than not, I really prefer the basics, the simple comfort foods. And that's what is discovered here in Psalm 23. We could look at other chapters with big miracles and big promises, but this is just a passage that brings comfort to my soul. Maybe we should call it soul food. That's what Psalm 23 is. It's familiar, it's reassuring, it's encouraging. So that's my text today, is Psalm 23. And my title is simple. It's the first few words. The Lord is my shepherd. That's it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that good to know? The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that good to know? The Lord is my shepherd who watches over me. That's just so important that we realize that God is our shepherd. So why don't you say that with me? Say, the Lord is my shepherd. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is your shepherd? The Lord is your shepherd? Let me tell you what it doesn't say. Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say the government is my shepherd. It doesn't say the president is my shepherd. It doesn't say the governor is my shepherd. You like that one, huh? It doesn't say that my employer is my shepherd. Our employer is not our provider. It doesn't say my mom is my shepherd. My dad is my shepherd. It doesn't say my counselor or my friend is my shepherd. What it says here is that the Lord is my shepherd. We got to remember that. We need to look to Him for the comfort we need. We need to look to Him for the provision that we need. We need to look to Him for the guidance that we need. We need to look to Him for the protection we need. Now, all these other entities have a part in our life, but ultimately, the Lord is my shepherd. So let me read these six verses. It's a very short psalm. I know it's familiar. Then we'll go back through it phrase by phrase. Psalm 23, verse 1. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's comfortable, comfortable and reassuring. We have a shepherd. Let's just kind of glance through this psalm. I'm just going to kind of hit a phrase at a time. We won't get everything, but I think there's enough for a spiritual feeding that we need. It begins with a prologue. It says, a psalm of David. David wrote this psalm. We know about David. We know that he was the giant slayer and he was a king. But before he was either of those, he was a shepherd. He understood the relationship between sheep and shepherd. Psalm 23, though, he reverses the role. He puts himself in the place of the sheep. He says, I'm like a helpless sheep, and God is my protector, my watchful shepherd. And that's what he says in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, whenever you read in your Bible the word Lord, sometimes it's in all capitals, sometimes it's in different fonts. But when it's all capitals, like this is, that means Jehovah or Yahweh, as people say. It's a personal name for God. We know that Jesus in the New Testament is God. And so the Jehovah, the Lord of the Old Testament, is Jehovah God Jesus in the New Testament. And Jesus even kind of refers to this passage when he calls himself the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is a shepherd who loves us so much that he'd be willing to die for his sheep. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is also called the Great Shepherd. So we know this shepherd passage is really about Jesus. He's also called the Chief Shepherd. Now verse 1 continues, the Lord is my shepherd. I like the word my there. Not the Lord is a shepherd. A is kind of general. Or the shepherd, like the man upstairs or something. It's a more personal word. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. He belongs to me. He takes care of me. David realized he had a personal relationship with Jesus the shepherd, with God the shepherd. And let me say that you can too. He doesn't just have to be this distant God, this man upstairs. He can be your shepherd. You can join his flock. You can receive Christ as your Savior. You can be part of his family. If you choose to have him, he wants to be your shepherd. Let's continue to read. The Lord is my shepherd. What about the word shepherd? That's a tender image for God. God is a shepherd. You know, David could have said, the Lord is my creator, and he would have been accurate. Because God is his creator. Jesus is his creator. Matter of fact, Psalm 8 talks about how God flung the stars into space and created it with his handiwork. And what is man that he considers him? So there's times when David refers to God as his creator, but not in this passage. The Lord is my shepherd. He could have said the Lord is my master, or the Lord is my teacher, or the Lord is my father, and all those things are true. But this image is unique. A shepherd communicates that God is watchful, that he's caring, that he's loving, that he's compassionate, that he's tender, but as a shepherd, he's also tough when he needs to be. So a shepherd gives that impression. Do we need a shepherd? Boy, do we ever. All we like sheep have gone astray. Remember that parable where Jesus, the shepherd, goes out for the lost sheep? Jesus is still searching for you. Many of us have gone astray. All of us have gone astray. He's always looking for lost sheep, and he wants to bring us back into his fold. Let's go on to the next phrase. We've seen the Lord is my shepherd. The next phrase is, I shall not want. That's an interesting way of putting it. NIV says, I have all that I need, or I shall not be in want. It's the idea that when the shepherd takes care of a sheep, he takes care of everything. He takes care, he provides, he cares for them. We sometimes find ourselves forgetting that. We complain, we whine, we say, oh, we need this, we want that. The reality is, according to this passage, I have everything that I need because I have a shepherd. The good shepherd promises to meet our every need, so we need to learn to be content with our shepherd's provision. Man, I found a fantastic poem. It's not one of those rhyming kind of poems, but it is a powerful poem written by Jason Lehman. It's called Present Tense. Listen to this. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was the fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holidays. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle-aged I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Isn't that a sad, sad chapter or poem? That's a sad commentary on life. We need to learn to be content with what our shepherd provides now. Look around your car. Look around this community. Think about your home. Think about your life and be thankful. Stop grieving about the past. Stop worrying about the future and start enjoying life now. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no want. I have no need. The Lord takes care of everything now. Let's go on to verses 2 and 3. Here David shares specific ways that the shepherd cares for his sheep. I'll go through these quickly because you remember these. Verse 2 says, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Sheep need to rest. They need to lay down and recuperate. When they travel from field to field, pasture to pasture, they need to lie down and in green pastures. You know, sometimes some of us never really stop. We're so active, maybe too active for our own good. We rush here, we rush there, we're pedal to the metal. You know, one of the hidden benefits of this pandemic is it's made us slow down. We've spent more time at home and more time with our family than probably ever in our life. Are you using this downtime to get to know God better? Lie down in green pastures, just to rest and reflect on God? The Bible says to be still and know that I am God. Are you staying still? Are you using this time? Don't just fill it up with junk. I mean, I know you got to watch a little TV and you got to watch a lot of news, but turn it off and enjoy your life. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, sheep are ruminants. You know what a ruminant is? They have several stomachs. What it means is they eat, and they regurgitate their food, and they chew their cud, C-U-D, cud. Cud is the food that they've regurgitated, and then they re-chew it, and then they re-swallow it. So you'll see sheep, you'll see cattle, you'll see goats laying down in a field, and they're chewing, but it doesn't look like they're eating anything. They're re-eating, they're re-chewing, ruminating. That way they get all the nutrients out of their green pastures. Now, as I thought about that, I thought that's a good pattern for us to follow. Not with our food. We don't want to be burping for food. But with God's word, We need to feed on God's word, read it, put it away in our mind, in our thoughts, and then as we're driving, as we're sleeping, as we're thinking, ruminate on it, meditate upon it, think about it. Let it just kind of be a part of you. Fully digest it. So read it, meditate it, and apply it to your life. And when we do this with God's word, we'll become stronger. It's not just read a quick read, but a read and think and consider and meditate. That's kind of what this is talking about to me. I wonder, are you feeding on the lush, living word of God, the green pastures all around you? Are you applying it to your life? Are you being spiritually nourished? You are responsible to nourish yourself. When you were a child, your mom fed you. Your parents fed you. Now you're an adult on a spiritual level. Don't depend on a Bible study or a pastor or a teacher to feed you. You need to feed yourself. Nourish yourself in the green pastures. The verse continues to say, verse 2, he leads me beside quiet waters. Quiet waters. You see, sheep are not good swimmers. They've got a big, thick wool. And so when they get in the water, they get bogged down and they drown. So they don't like rushing waters. They like still waters. The sheep are fearful by nature. And God knows our fears. And he knows where to direct us and how to protect us. We're always under the watchful eyes of our shepherd. Man, I read a story. It breaks my heart to read it to you, but let me share it with you. This is about some sheep who were not being watched closely enough in Turkey. This happened in 2005. In Istanbul, Turkey, this is an article out of their paper. First, one sheep jumped to its death, then stunned Turkish shepherds who had left the herd while they grazed to eat breakfast. They watched as nearly 1,500 other sheep followed, each leaping off the same cliff. Turkish media reported. In the end, 450 dead animals lay on top of one another in a billowy white pile, the Askan newspaper said. Those who jumped later were saved as the pile got higher and far more cushioned. There's nothing we could do. They're all wasted. A member of one of the 26 families whose sheep were grazing together in the herd was quoted as saying, the estimated loss to the families was $100,000, a significant amount of money in a country where the average gross domestic product per head is around $2,700. Every family had an average of 20 sheep, said another villager. But now only a few families have sheep left. It's going to be hard for us. The moral of the story is shepherds need to stay watchful over their sheep. These shepherds were off having breakfast and the sheep were going off of a cliff. We have a God who's watching us all the time. Our shepherd, the Bible says, never sleeps, never slumbers. He's watching us. He doesn't take breakfast breaks, timeouts, naps. He's always watching over his fearful, flighty sheep. You have a God that's watching over you all the time. He's with us to protect us. Verse 3 says that he restores our soul. Our soul. We talked about being fed, but our soul. Only Christ can restore a thirsty soul. Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is the water of life. He's the one that can quench our soul. Listen how Jesus described mankind in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Here's what he said about people. As he looked at all the crowds, all the masses, here's what he said. He says, seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. That's Jesus' words. He said, there are people that are wandering, hopeless and helpless. They're like sheep without a guide, without a protector. People are distressed. People are downcast. They are lost. They're wandering. They're hopeless. We have a shepherd. We have a flock with room to add more sheep. We need to reach those who are hurting. With God as a spiritual shepherd, we can find satisfaction, fulfillment. We can find protection. We can have our souls restored. Listen to how Peter states it. This is 1 Peter 2:25, quote, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." Isn't that fabulous? We were wandering around like lost sheep, but now we've returned to the fold under the guide and the eyes of the shepherd. Verse 3 continues, "He restores my soul and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." You know, when you're a shepherd, you can follow a wrong trail and end up in trouble. A good shepherd knows the right path that leads the right way. Sheep have a tendency to wander off on their own. The good shepherd guides his sheep in the right paths. Verse 2, it said, "He leads me beside still waters." Here he guides me in paths of righteousness. So leads, guides, that tells us that Jesus is our guide and we need to follow him. Are you following your shepherd? Are you following Jesus or just naming him as your shepherd? Are you actually following? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." Sheep follow the shepherd. I hope you're one of those. Now, sometimes following Jesus is dangerous. Did you know that? We read about it in verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd has to lead his sheep to new pastures. They eat all the grass in one area, they got to move off to another area. So he's got to guide them there. Sometimes to get to this pasture, to that pasture, they have to go through some deep valleys, dark valleys. This is called the valley of the shadow of death. By necessity, they must go through scary places to get to friendly places. Yet it says these sheep are safe as long as they stay near their shepherd. Let me look at it again. It says, "I will fear no evil." Not when the shepherd's there. He's there to protect me. He says, "You are with me. You're to fight off all the beasts and the thieves and the enemies. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So those are weapons that the shepherd had. Do you remember when David killed Goliath? Do you remember he met and they said, "You're too young, you're too little, you're too weak." He said, "Hey, when I've been out there with my sheep, I've killed a lion and a bear before." These shepherds were tough guys. And this tells us our shepherd can protect you from the lions and the bears and the enemies. And the application for this is we all pass through dark valleys sometimes. I see dark valleys as being any kind of hardship or trial. The Bible says in this world we'll have tribulation, we'll have trials. We can be sure that God is with us. "Yea, though I walk through a valley of trial, the Lord is with me. He will protect us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So God is there with you in your dark valley. I know some of you have gone through some dark valleys. You've had health issues. You've had financial issues. Maybe you're having relationship issues, work issues. This pandemic is definitely a dark valley we're all walking through together. But we're not without a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He walks with us to protect us and to care for us. So look for Jesus. Your shepherd is with you in the dark valley. Of course, the ultimate dark valley is death, isn't it? When we hear this verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That is the ultimate valley we'll all have to walk through. Maybe that's why this passage is referred to at funerals, because it is talking about death. You know what, folks? Believers do not have to fear death because the great shepherd is with us. We're all going to face that. We're going to go through that valley someday. We don't have to fear it. The shepherd who leads us in this life will lead us through to our next life. Death is simply moving from this fold to that fold and going through a dark valley in between. Death is simply moving from one place to another. I like this fact that says death is like a shadow. Are you afraid of shadows? What can a shadow do to you? If a shadow of a dog is there, you worry about the dog, but you don't worry about the shadow of the dog, right? A shadow of a sword, what kind of shadow? A sword can't cut you. A shadow of can't cut you. A shadow of an enemy. This says that death is like a shadow. Don't be afraid of a shadow of death. It's temporary, not to be feared. It's a shadow we go through from this life to a better life. It's a valley we can walk and we can be assured that Jesus will be with us. Let me ask you, if God called you to pass through the valley of death today, would you be ready? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you walking with God? Do you have a relationship with the Good Shepherd? He'll be with you through that valley, but you have to choose him to be your shepherd. Don't go through that valley alone. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." With the shepherd nearby, the sheep are safe from their enemies, no matter where we're at. He's our protector, our provider. Our cup overflows. "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here we see a promise for today. Goodness and loving kindness, or King James's goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. That's today, right? "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's a promise for tomorrow. Forever. So we have God with us today as we walk this valley, and we have God with us as we go to heaven. We will be in his house. So our present life is secure in Christ, and our future life is secure in Christ. We are surrounded by God's special love. Just as a review of this passage, here we go. "Beside me we have a good shepherd. Beneath me we have green pastures. Behind me we have goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. And before me we have the promise of heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a comforting psalm. I hope that God has blessed you through it. I'm going to wrap up with a story. A story that I have read before, but it seems so fitting and so relevant to what we're talking about. This is called Sheepish Thoughts. Sheepish Thoughts. I'm quoting now. "Well, I don't know much about those white fluffy animals Scripture talks about. I've been tending sheep, the human variety, for a long time. It's always seemed very beautiful to me that Jesus compares his church to a sheepfold and calls us his little flock. Best of all, he describes himself as the Good Shepherd. In observing sheepfolds over the years, I've been fascinated by a particular group I've come to call the near sheep." Near sheep. Near sheep are the ones who seem to enjoy being near the shepherd. They're easy to spot because they're always at his feet, brushing up against his ankles. Near sheep get the choice treats the shepherd keeps in his pocket. If their fleece becomes matted or if a thorn gets lodged in the hoof, the shepherd's healing hand is always nearby. Near sheep are already there at feeding times, and they are the first ones in the feeding bin. They get the fresh water before it's been trampled and muddied by 100 hooves. Near sheep get loving nicknames, gentle pats on the head. Being close to the shepherd is a safe place. With that rod nearby, no predator is likely to sink his fangs into you. All things considered, it's good to be a near sheep. But we've also known far sheep. For whatever reasons, far sheep prefer the outer boundaries of the pasture. Far sheep come lumbering in at designated feeding times, but by the time they arrive, the grain and the water are not so fresh. They aren't happy about this. And those little emergencies, well, the shepherd faithfully makes his rounds to check his far sheep, but they may have been hobbling about on a sore hoof for hours before he's arrived. Far sheep see the shepherd primarily as a service provider and a protector. They've come to doubt, though, that he's good at either. Wolves still and bears stalk the distant fence lines and have snatched away more than one far sheep. At the edge of the corral, sadly, the sheep talk is often about the shepherd's failures. As an under-shepherd, I can tell you confidently that near sheep are the joy of the ministry. And yes, far sheep provide nearly all the grief. I don't think anyone sets out to be a far sheep. It just happens. Both Isaiah and the hymn writer describe us as prone to wander. It's not good, but it's natural. I do believe, though, that we deliberately become near sheep. We choose to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We decide to listen to the voice of the shepherd. We fix our eyes on Jesus. As we draw near to him, we'll discover he's already drawing near to us. After all, we're talking about the good shepherd who showed that he loved us so much that he laid down his life for us crazy sheep. End of quote. Are you a near sheep? Are you drawing near to the Lord, enjoying the green pastures, enjoying his care, his tender touch, his leading, his guiding, his provision? Are you a far sheep that just wanders in once in a while and complain about the church, complain about the fold, complain about God, lift your fist to God and say, "You're not doing your job, God"? What kind of sheep are you? Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank you for this comforting passage that we can be near sheep, sheep under your care, that your goodness will follow us, your mercy will take care of us, you'll provide for us, feed us, protect us. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful passage. And Lord, I do pray for comfort for those who are hurting, especially during this pandemic. Lord, we look for the day when we can be back together and receive our hugs and embraces. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, before we have a closing song, we're going to vote. Did you all try AM and FM? Did you both try about both? All right. If you thought the AM 1690 AM was better, give me a one horn. All right. If you thought the FM 100.5 was better, give me a horn. Okay, we probably won't have both next week. We did a dual setup, but come prepared. We'll talk to the tech people to decide where we're going to go with that. But thank you again for coming out today. And men, don't forget Thursday morning's informal hike around the lake and prayer group. Women, don't forget your informal meeting at Grass Valley Park, all right? Until next time, may God richly bless you. We're going to have one more song by the worship team. When they're done, we are dismissed. God bless.